always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
We go again.
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator. Still? Yeah, it should be good. Yeah. Apologies. My kids were in my office and I looked down and yeah. So anyway, we are gathered here on this fine Thursday night, to talk about one of my favorite wins of the season, which is a crazy thing to say in the middle of this 8-game winning streak that the Lakers find themselves on. They've beaten the Knicks. They've beaten the Minnesota Timberwolves. They beat the Denver Nuggets. They beat the Rockets twice. And yet somehow, some way, on the second night of a back-to-back, hours after getting into Miami at like 5 a.m. local time out there, the Lakers scrounged together enough energy, enough production, enough culture, enough give a bleep to pick up a win over a team, by the way, in Miami that has been playing pretty good basketball. And the final score was 134-126. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about that win. We're going to be talking about Luka's performance and how it just keeps escalating with what he's been doing over the last couple of weeks. We will talk about LeBron's performance because I thought it was incredible watching this guy set a give a bleep tone on the second night of a back-to-back at 41 years old. He triple-doubled tonight. And then, look, I had kind of said, I thought that this was going to be one of those kind of like ho-hum, you know, sucks to see that the win streak was snapped. But at the end of the day, like schedule loss, all this stuff, I thought it was just going to be a mailbag episode. Turns out we have a lot to talk about from it, but I also want you guys to participate in this conversation. So hit me with questions, hit me with comments. I'll go ahead and double up on the mailbag going into this upcoming weekend, even though I'm going to be out of town. But I'm going to go ahead and handle the mailbag, 2 weeks worth of mailbag questions in this weekend's mailbag or next week's mailbag, because I really want to celebrate this win, man. Like, yeah, this was awesome. Luka is playing at an MVP level. Luka seems to have like stamped his name in that conversation, no matter how badly ESPN apparently wants this dude to not be a part of those conversations. Really fun show, really fun game. Let's go ahead and dive on in. Before we do that, let's go ahead and remind you guys, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Turn on those notifications. Turn on YouTube notifications to be able to get notifications about the show when we go live. If you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, but wherever you get them works just fine with me. And man, what a freaking game. What a freaking team. So let's go through some of the individual performances here in this game before we get, you know, we zoom back out. We kind of celebrate the team as a whole and what they're currently doing for us. But again, 134-126 was the final. Luka obviously leads the way with 60 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 5 steals in this game. Did have a couple of turnovers, was 18 of 30. From the field, 9 of 17 from three-point range, 15 of 19 from the free throw line, and was just so far ahead of everybody else on the court. Miami does not have the individual defenders that, say, like Houston does. So Luka was really just kind of toying with whoever happened to be on him on any given possession. His three-point shot has really come around here the second half of the season, and I think that has completely opened up everything else around the court for him. Phenomenal performance there. We'll talk a little bit more about Luka here in a little bit. LeBron, like I said earlier, 19 points, 15 rebounds for LeBron. Also had 10 assists, 8 of 12 from the field, 3 of 5 from the free throw line. And also, I thought, played real bleeping good defense, whether it was on or off of the ball. So we'll talk about LeBron in a bit as well. I thought in this one, Marcus Smart continues to set a tone defensively that the Lakers just would not be the same without. He finishes this game. He played 28 minutes, went 2 of 6 from the field, 1 of 4 from three-point range, 13 points, 4 assists, a couple of boards, a couple of steals, was a game high plus 15. So in a game that Luka drops 60, it is Marcus Smart who was, in this one specific way, top dog on the Lakers roster. And then, for Miami, you had Bam go off. I thought Bam's whistle is insane. Like, the dude's allowed to travel every play. He, grifts and does all that stuff plenty. Calling out grifting in a night where Luka scores or shoots 19 free throws probably isn't what non-Lakers fans want to hear. I just don't really like watching Bam play on offense. Incredible defender. And I was surprised that Miami didn't just put Bam on Luka, and just try to like survive that way. But that also would then take Bam away from the rim, which would open things up for LeBron and all the Lakers cutters. And this is what the Lakers offense does to you. There is no easy way to take any couple of things away from the Lakers to such an extent that option number three is not also going to really hurt you. So, but still, Bam, 28 and 10, couple of assists, a steal, plenty of free throws. And then you had Tyler Hero, who I thought in the second half was really kind of cooking Austin and was giving him some real kind of issues. He finished the game with 21 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, 8 of 19 from the field. You had Norman Powell, who I just think is just perpetually underrated. 20 points for him, 7 of 13 from the field, 5 of 5 from the free throw line. And then you had some kind of peripheral performances from there. So, like, really what this one comes down to is the Lakers stars, and in this case, the two kind of stars were Luka and LeBron, with Austin kind of playing third fiddle again. I don't think Austin is healthy. His wrist was kind of bothering him. He took a tough fall on the baseline earlier in the game, and he was kind of holding his ribs. I kind of think he needs a bit of a break. We'll see if he's able to get one. But yeah, at the end of the day, though, like, Luka was so freaking good and LeBron was so freaking good that the Lakers were able to survive another kind of offish game for Austin. And this is like the point of having three players of that caliber on your roster is, all right, Austin doesn't quite have it. LeBron, you got to step up. LeBron doesn't quite have it. Austin's got to step up. And more often than not, especially recently, Luka has had it. And so you don't really have to worry about nights that he doesn't. So it was just a really fun game here for the Lakers. Taking care of business again on the second night of a back-to-back. A game that they had every excuse in the world to just kind of drop. I was in the offside chat saying, you know what? They gave it a go here in the first half. I would be perfectly fine with them, subbing out or not playing the big three in the second half. But then the third quarter happened and they really kind of dominated. Miami fought their way back and made a game out of it. But overall, like after the Lakers really kind of steamrolled Miami in the third quarter, there were moments that Miami got back into it and stuff like that. But, you know, the Lakers were just very clearly the better team. So stellar performance here individually, collectively, and culturally here for a Lakers team that I've spent basically the entire season questioning its culture. It was great to see this. Let's talk about Luka, because good God, man. Again, the numbers, 60 points for Luka on 18 of 30 attempts from the field. Only 30 attempts to score 60 points. He shot 9 of 17 from three-point range. He shot 15 of 19 from the free throw line. Continued to play really good defense. Had 5 steals in this game. Like honestly, you look at it and he didn't get any block shots, but he was a couple of assists away from a 4x5 where he had, you know, he had 3 assists and, you know, with the rebounds and with the steals and obviously with 60 points, this dude just continues to do stuff on a basketball court that I never thought I would really see again for quite a while. You know, like LeBron did incredible things his first couple seasons with the Lakers, and obviously throughout his Lakers tenure, we're really blessed, you know, being able to watch Kobe back in the day, and then older Lakers fans were able to watch it with Magic and with Kareem and stuff like that. So that, you know, the star power, it was funny, somebody asked in the chat, in the offside chat, like, how many times has a player scored 60 for the Lakers? And somebody else responded like, hey man, this is still Kobe's franchise, or Kobe did play for this franchise. And Kobe had his share of 60 point games. But yeah, like, you know, Luka, you know, scoring, defending, distributing, rebounding, like just doing everything that the Lakers need of its best player. And it's getting really difficult to not start considering him the best player in the world. And if Luka is the best, like in basketball, basketball can be relatively simple. If you have the best player in the world, you are a championship contender, flat out, right? And that's why I got kind of annoyed at the deadline, because it's like, this guy has that capability. You know, I just don't like punting in seasons where, you know, you have the best player in the world potentially. And we'll see, you know, to what extent that comes back to bite them, if it does bite them or whatever. But for right now, like, I don't even care to talk about that stuff. To me, like, the only thing worth talking about is, good Lord, Luka is so, like, just such a special, special basketball player who, you know, he hurt Miami going to the basket. He got the in-between game going. He was knocking down three-pointers. There was just nothing that Miami could do with him. They tried zoning, they tried trapping, they tried this, they tried that. And Luka, like the crazy thing about Luka scoring 60 points in this game was that I still thought he got it within the rhythm of the basketball game. Like when Miami was trapping him hard, he saw LeBron on the short roll and LeBron was able to create extra advantages from there. And when Miami didn't send that trap, then Luka just kind of went to work. Just an unbelievable performance from Luka. And again, on the second night of a back-to-back, when the number one question that people always tend to have about Luka is this guy's conditioning, being able to do that when you played less than 24 hours ago, would kind of indicate that the conditioning is at a pretty good level. And by the way, he didn't fade late either. Like the, you know, kind of blueprint for Luka's production, over the course of his career was, you know, really kind of taking over early and then fading over the next few quarters. And then if you really, really need production late, then Luka obviously can do that for you. But he was relentless for the entirety of the game. He was just the best basketball player on the court by a lot. And it was really fun to watch. Next guy I want to talk about here on an individual basis is LeBron. LeBron is just, you know, doing things that 41-year-olds, you know, don't typically get to do. I just realized this is crazy. I just realized that the graphics on this thing were from yesterday and they all still apply. Like the Lakers have been so good and so consistently over this stretch that, and Luka specifically has been so good, you know, so spectacularly consistent that like, it's just like, yeah, you could just roll with whatever graphics that you had yesterday. But yeah, like LeBron's game in this one. So the Lakers start this one and they get down by like double digits. And, there were a couple of notes that there are a couple of things that I thought were worth noting, be it before the game and then early on in the game. One, I forget, I think it was Skolnick, report or somebody, a Miami Heat reporter there in Miami, you know, got video of LeBron. He was the first Laker off of the bus there, and he was walking with intent, you know, to the locker room to get ready for this game. And I was like, that was that moment. I was like, oh shit, I think he's gonna play. Because there was a lot of question. Remember, Raj and I on this show yesterday were like, I don't know if anybody's really gonna go second night of a back to back. Don't know how early they're gonna get in or how late that they're gonna get in to Miami. And no, LeBron gets off the bus. He is the first guy off of the bus. He's walking with intent, he looks focused. And you know that, you know, just in case this is his last game in Miami, that he wanted to show out. And so the Lakers were, I thought, you know, kind of going through the motions. They looked very, you know, clearly tired. And I thought LeBron early on in this game was like, no, that's not how this is going. And I thought from an energy standpoint, from an engagement, discipline, focus, give a bleep standpoint, I thought LeBron really set a tone in this game that allowed the Lakers to kind of like wake up and like, all right, fine. If LeBron's going to do this, then I guess we're all going to do this. And it was a great game for LeBron. Again, a triple double for him, 15 rebounds for LeBron in this one. I thought his continued dominance in transition is still very much a weapon here for the Lakers and something that like he and Luka are very simpatico on. I also give a lot of credit to LeBron. Like once he kind of noticed, oh shit, this is a Luka game. LeBron really kind of backed off offensively and really focused on, you know, stopping Miami from getting any extra possessions and creating as many extra possessions for the Lakers as he could. And that's like, that's how this is going to have to go. You know, like Luka is the engine offensively. LeBron is kind of more of the little things player, the gritty, dirty work kind of player. And yet also like in a game where Austin scores 18 points, only 5 of 12 from the field, 2 of 7 from the 3-point range, 6 of 10 from the free throw line, just doesn't quite look right now. In a game where Austin doesn't quite look right, LeBron being able to just be like, oh, well, I mean, the good news is you have LeBron on your team. And so between LeBron's understanding of what the game needs and Luka's ability to produce at the insane levels that Luka produced in this game and has been producing over this 8-game winning streak, like, good Lord, man. Like, that's, it's so, like, we cannot take this for granted, what we are watching from these two dudes. Like, all right, sometimes it's going to be LeBron, sometimes it's going to be Luka, but for the most part, those guys are just, like, pushing each other to see how great they can be at whatever it is that the Lakers need from either or both of them. Like, this is the kind of thing, I'm not kidding, that I'm going to tell my grandkids about. Like, this is going to be like watching these two guys figure this out over the course of a season that at times was hugely frustrating on, you know, in a variety of ways, watching these guys eventually arrive at the proper answer to this basketball Rubik's Cube. It's just so cool. It's exactly what I watch basketball for, because it's not just the X's and O's. It's not just the talent from both of these guys, but it's a very human story. Watching LeBron, you know, navigate and figure out how to exist in a world that he is, or in a universe that he is not the center of. And then to exist in that world and not kind of draw attention away from the guy who should be the center of the Lakers universe right now. And to finally, he had that recent absence, was out for those few games, for him to kind of recognize. And I was told, over the last few days or so that LeBron sat there, watched those games, took those in. And a lot of the conversations that he's kind of had, over the course of the last couple of weeks is starting when he was just getting ready to come back from his most recent absence, it was just like, all right, this is what I got to do. This is what this team needs for me. And he's been able to execute that. Tonight was a stellar LeBron game that, and by the way, we're going to get to the end of the season and we're going to be, figuring out where the Lakers are going to sit in the seat in the playoff seedings. And we're going to be figuring out what the Lakers magic number is. And we're going to be, talking about margin for error and all of these things with what the Lakers are looking to do and what they're trying to achieve by the time they get to the playoffs. And this is going to be one of those games that I'm going to look back on and I'm going to say, yeah, when the Lakers have one extra win, you're going to be able to look back on this one on the second night of a back-to-back in every sense of the word or every sense of the description of what is a schedule loss. The Lakers were able to figure this out. And that was just so freaking cool to watch. I can't believe I'm saying this, man, but I love this team right now. This has been so fun to watch this team become this. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into some of your guys' questions and comments and all of that good stuff. Apologies again at the top of the show when I was muted for a full minute. Look, just like the Lakers, it was a slow start at the beginning of the show, and eventually you kind of figure it out. You pick up the energy that you get the energy to where you needed to get to, and eventually you're able to win on the second night of a back-to-back. It's a back-to-back for me too. I'm old. Not enough people talk about how difficult it is to podcast at 39 years old. But all right, let's go ahead and dive on into some of your guys' comments. Devon Barry Martin, Luka's the best player in the league. Kind of hard to argue. Alvin the Great, MVP Luka, 100 points in two games and back-to-back is crazy. Again, this is where it's just kind of funny being a Laker fan, because we watched Kobe, I think, score 50 in four straight or something insane during a dead ball era. But no, what Luka is doing right now and it leading to wins in the way that it is currently leading to wins is really fun to watch. Really cool. And just from a raw production standpoint, Luka feels inevitable, right? You watch him in these games and it just feels like eventually he's going to figure this out, whether it's his own individual scoring, whether it's the ways that the Lakers need him to score, whether it's does he need to go in facilitator mode? Does he need to defend? What is it that he eventually needs to do to figure out what the Lakers need to win any said ball game? And right now, Luka feels inevitable in the same way that LeBron was inevitable, Jokic was inevitable, Kobe was inevitable, right? The caliber of basketball that Luka is currently playing, and it leading to these wins over these teams, right? Miami is no slouch. It's just been, it's so incredible to watch this take place. Let's see. The next one comes from dun, 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 dun. Also want to note, I think I saw it. I want to see if I if somebody grabbed the clip of it. Yeah, I think, yeah, Wojcie grabbed the clip of this where the Lakers bench was going crazy for Luka getting fouled and being able to score his 60th point. So go over here, download that one. Bring that here. Drop it there. Sorry. But yeah, like, look at the way that Luka's teammates are celebrating this moment. And I haven't seen this start to finish yet, but like, again, chemistry was a question about this team earlier this year. Culture has been a question about this team for years. You know, fit and give a bleep. Like, all of these things have been questions about the Lakers over the course of this season. And I'm not saying that all of this stuff is just fully figured out now. I'm not saying that, you know, like, all right, hang the banner now. But what I will say, though, is like a, you know, a Lakers team that has had to answer these questions over the course of a season and the way that the Lakers have had to answer these questions is just, yeah, it's just, it's so awesome to watch, and it's still taking forever to upload. So eventually if I'm able to play it, I will for you guys. But I mean, just the stuff that this team is doing on a night by night basis is just so legitimately. Like, I always say this, I obviously am very susceptible to criticizing this Lakers team, right? Like, I hold the Lakers to an incredibly high standard. And I always say that, like, when I criticize the Lakers, when I question the Lakers, when I doubt the Lakers, I always say that I hope that I am wrong. And I'm not, it's too early to say that I have been flat out wrong about this team this season. There is still a lot of season and postseason to go before I can make any kind of statement of that magnitude. But what I will say, though, is that I did not think that they were capable of this together this season. So in that way, I'm willing to say, like, yeah, maybe I should have seen it. I don't think anybody did, including these own Lakers. But you know, here we are. But here's from Dan Wojcie. This was the reaction as Luka was able to get to the free throw line to have the opportunity to drop 60 points in Miami. MVP chance, by the way, for Luka on the road. That was a Luka fan. Look at those. You can see them. They're all there in the corner. They're all up. They're all watching. Here he is. He takes his second free throw. And like, hey, man, I'm going to make this one. That goes up. And he gets it. The bench is pumped. That's awesome, man. Like, maybe I'm softy. Maybe I'm becoming soft in my old age, at this advanced age that I'm currently navigating. But this kind of stuff is just cool to me, you know. A team figuring it out, a team feeling its back up against the wall and making that decision, like, all right, we can either fold and, you know, listen to a front office that basically sent the message that it didn't believe in us this year. And, you know, fall victim to the all shucks response to that, or it could do what it wound up doing, which is use that as a rallying cry. Nobody believed in the Lakers at that time. Nobody, except apparently for the guys in that locker room. And I will say this, at no point, I don't think that I hear anything that, like, you know, things are looking terrible. Everybody's quitting and this and that. Like, I was a little nervous about it because of how we've seen the Lakers get blown out in so many games this year. But as a unit, as a group, I did tend to, you know, more often than not hear, like, just get healthy. Just get healthy. Give us any kind of a runway to the postseason and let's see what we can do. And, you know, we've now seen it. We've now seen what they can do, and it's kind of impressive. Let's see. I am... let's see. All right, I want to talk about this. I haven't asked about this with any Lakers people that I would ask about this. The Bam hate watch was a real thing. Like, I don't know if you guys felt it the same way that I did, but I really wanted to win this game. I just did not like the way that they went about Bam breaking that record, the fouling late, the grifting late, all of that stuff. It just felt gross. I did not like it. And look, you guys have heard me talk about this over the years, right? I am a fervent believer in the basketball gods. Miami needed this win, right? Like, they are fighting, scratching, clawing to you know, I got to look at the standings at where things sit here with them. But Miami right now, yeah, they're the 8 seed. And they are half of a game back of the Atlanta Hawks, who sit 6th. And had Miami won this one, they would sit 6th instead. So, like, you know, obviously there's more time and maybe they can climb out of the play-in. But end of the day, this was a game that Miami really, really needed. It was a schedule win for them, right? Playing a Lakers team on the second night of a back-to-back. And yet didn't happen, did it? You know, and I, you know, at the end of the day, the credit actually goes to the Lakers for pulling off this win, but from, like, a spiritual basketball fan standpoint, I couldn't help but notice that, you know, a couple of shots that Miami might normally make didn't go in. Couple of shots that, you know, Luka had, like, that one step back three at the end of a shot clock that, like, you thought had no hope. He makes that one. And a few of those shots over the course of a game that defines who wins or loses. And some of those 50-50 balls, some of those bounces on the rim that you need here and there. I don't know, man. Like, this felt like a win for the basketball gods. Just kind of like, all right, you guys can enjoy your cute little, you know, record or whatever that you want to call it. But a game that you really, really needed and that the Lakers didn't honestly need as much as you guys, the Lakers found a way to win it. And you guys are sitting there and you know, in the play-in now as a result of losing this one. And that feels good. Like, the petty sports fan in me, the person who wants to believe that there are sports gods up there kind of rewarding the ethical in sports, that, like, I love this win from that standpoint too, right? Cause, like, I don't know. I don't think it's a coincidence that, like, James Harden falls short in the playoffs because of the amount of grifting that he did en route to putting himself in the Kobe conversations when he was in those Kobe conversations. I don't think it's a coincidence that, like, the Clippers do all kinds of cheating, allegedly, to get Kawhi Leonard. And that leads to one of the more disappointing superstar stints in modern NBA history. Like, the sports gods are watching, and all you can do is take care of what's in front of you. And all you can do is, you know, approach the sport or whatever it is that you're doing in an ethical way. And hope that, like, somebody up there is paying attention to those things and rewards you for going about stuff the right way. And this game felt a lot like somebody up there being like, you know what, Miami, you don't get this one. You got the record and you enjoyed that moment, all that stuff. You don't also get this game, which I support. Let's see. The next one that I will go with is all right, so this is nonsense. JJ Redick Muse. Anthony said Luka is a crybaby and was critiquing him all season long, calling him not the best player in the world. Stay on that side, Anthony. Kindly, fuck off. Here's my thing. There is no dumber movement within the youth sports fandom than Ja Morant of all people. Like, you guys siding with Ja Morant of all people to continue with that trend of stay on that side. The thing is, new information can present itself. You can't tell me, JJ Redick Muse, or even any Luka fan out there, Luka stan out there, you can't tell me that the caliber of basketball that he's playing right now is the same caliber of basketball he was playing earlier this year. That is objectively not true. He would say it. He has been whining a lot less since he doesn't want to be suspended for technical fouls. And that has, I think, led to a level of focus that he did not have earlier this season. And this whole, like, stay on that side. What I will say, like, a movement that I do support here is keep that same energy, right? Keep that same energy, meaning if I'm going to be super duper hard on him when I don't like how he's playing, when I don't like how he's comporting himself on a basketball court, I then have to be that loud when I do like what it is that he is doing on a basketball court, when I do think he is playing like the best basketball player in the world. That's how this shit should work. That's how coaching works. That's how parenting works. That's how being a human being works. But all this, like, stay on that side nonsense, like, that's how we arrive at the political and societal spot that we find ourselves in right now, when nobody can apparently take new information into account. What are we doing here? Do you want me to root for this guy? Or would you rather I do the Tim Legler or the Kendrick Perkins thing or the vast majority of ESPN thing, where, like, they find new caveats and move the goalposts to say that this dude isn't actually playing the best basketball of anybody in the world? Would you prefer that I do that on this channel? I bet you wouldn't. How about, and this is what I always say, if I like what I see from somebody, whether it be a player, a coach, a front office executive, whatever, if I like it, I'm going to say I like it. I'm going to say I respect it. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that. If I don't like something that they're doing, I'm going to criticize it. It's actually a pretty simple platform that I run here. And earlier on in the season, or for some stretches of this season, I did think that Luka was getting a little carried away with the referees. And I did at times not necessarily love watching him play basketball, because he would not get back on defense and he would miss rotations. And he just didn't quite have it in the same way that he is right now. But right now, what he is doing right now, I will also say, this is special. The caliber of basketball that Luka Doncic is playing right now is special. And if he does this more frequently and stuff like that, if this is who Luka Doncic is, he's not going to drop 60 every night, and he's not going to average 38 points over the course of a season, I don't think. But if he continues to do special things on a basketball court, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to hop on this show and I'm going to continue to say, damn, this dude is special. Let's see. Alicia Clark asking, Anthony, why is JJ not playing Vando? So I think it just kind of comes down to the offensive concerns are just so difficult to navigate that anything you might get defensively, like you're starting at a deficit. And I think with JJ Redick, he's always, I think, going to lean towards spacing, towards offense. Like, I think that's how he kind of views the sport. And I just don't think Jared Vanderbilt, the basketball player, is a very good fit with JJ Redick, the basketball coach. And now look, is it possible that, like, at some point from here through the end of the season that, you know, the Lakers find themselves in a situation that calls for Jared Vanderbilt and he comes through and we kind of ask, like, he's been there this whole time. Absolutely. I am not completely out on Jared Vanderbilt, the basketball player, just because, like, I have seen him impact enough games and impact the energy of a game in such a positive way that it helps his team win in various spots, whether it be in regular season or postseason basketball. What I will say about Jared Vanderbilt is he is one of the more respected professionals in the NBA, and he has a reputation for staying ready. So when that time comes that, you know, JJ does call on him, maybe there's injuries, maybe, again, it's a situational thing. If that time comes, I do believe that Jared Vanderbilt would reward JJ for going to him in that moment. It's just right now, I just think with Luke Kennard just never being, you know, just I think his name is in pen in this rotation. Those would otherwise be Vando's minutes. And again, with JJ, given the way that we know that he kind of sees the sport, he's always going to lean towards Luke Kennard and his ability to shoot over Jared Vanderbilt's ability to kind of wreak havoc and make up for his inability to shoot. And I also think, like, the other, like, really important point here is that Vando is just not a very good finisher, whether it's from 3-point range or around the rim either. And that just makes it really difficult to figure out how those lineups, like, you know, don't just make life miserable on whichever engine is on the court in those moments. I would like to see it figured out. I just don't necessarily think that JJ Redick at this point in the season is looking for ways to figure it out. Let's see. Yeah, like, Gabe, I'm with you. Kennard has been struggling a little bit. I think that in, like, the last few games or so, I honestly would have preferred to have Vando out there over Kennard, especially when the Lakers need stops. They've been doing this lineup of Austin, Kennard, and Luka, which I don't think the stats are updated quite yet, but I don't love them as a trio. I'm going to pull up the see what I can find on their the lineup data with them, which, you know, is going to be smaller sample size, all of that stuff. But I just don't really love them as a group. There's just, like, the defense is kind of concerning, and Kennard is not shooting the ball well enough that it kind of makes up for the defensive concerns. So I would, you know, like a little bit more open-mindedness from JJ with Kennard and with Vando. But I think as of now, it's pretty clear which way he's kind of leaning here. And it's not, come on, pop up. If that pops up, I'll let you guys know. Nope, wrong button. All right, so let's go over here. We will go Kennard. Kennard, Doncic, Reeves. Okay, so these are traditional. That's not what I want. Five player lineups. We go three. We'll go here to Kennard. And all right, so on the season, that's not the right one. Kennard, Doncic, Reeves. Okay. So they're playing neutral. So they have an offensive rating in 112 minutes together of 114.6 and a defensive rating of 113.7. So, frankly, the defensive rating is about where I would think it would be. The offensive rating needs to be significantly higher if that group is going to work here moving forward. So, but look, like we know that JJ Redick is always going to stick with the lineups that he thinks is going to provide enough spacing. That's why he keeps going back to the original starting group with Rui in there. That's why he's going to continue playing this lineup. That's why he tried to find minutes for Maxi Kleba when he was healthy, even though Maxi Kleba doesn't actually space the floor. It's why he prefers Jake LaRavia over Jared Vanderbilt. Like, if you ever have a question like, why did JJ do this? More often than not, the answer to that question is spacing. Let's see. Failed Panda 26. Hey, Anthony, question about the offseason. Are we really sure Kessler is going to be impossible to get just because he's restricted free agent? Doesn't Utah start to worry about paying Kante George, Ace Bailey, as well as the rest of their front line? Yeah, I mean, like, theoretically, I could see this being a move that the Lakers make. Kessler is a special talent. I think that if they ever do break up that that front court, that they would probably trade Markkanen rather than lose Kessler outright to free agency. And, because they traded for Jaren Jackson Jr., and that front court of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Walker Kessler, if Kessler is going to be the same player he was before he got hurt, that's a really intimidating front court. And I don't think that Lauri Markkanen fits there. So, like, if they could find a new home for Markkanen to make up for the price that it cost to get Jaren Jackson Jr., that also frees up a whole bunch of money to be able to pay everybody, and that allows them to keep Walker Kessler. That would be the way that I would manage that situation. But I also know that they really like Lauri Markkanen, and it's a good problem to have, but I do think at the end of the day that there is going to be a cap crunch there, and I think they would probably rather trade Markkanen rather than just lose Walker Kessler. So they probably match Kessler, trade Markkanen. So we go one more question here, and I will go ahead and get out of here. Joe Little, 4201. What is this team's ceiling this year? Do you think LeBron is coming back next year? It's funny. So we'll do these things. They're like these mini podcasts with Offside, where like it's a show, but it's like a series of one question or one subject videos. You've seen them on the most recent one was about Luka's MVP candidacy. It's on my profile now. But the one of the topics that we talked about today was like LeBron's future. And again, just talking from a standpoint of what else is out there for him. Like, if he goes to Cleveland, is Cleveland that much further ahead of where the Lakers are right now? Is Donovan Mitchell a better basketball player than Luka Doncic? No. Also, his family prefers LA to Cleveland. The other one here is like Golden State. They're a mess. You know, like, why would he leave the Lakers given the way that they're playing right now to go to Golden State, where he's still going to be in another player's city? He's going to be in Steph's city there. And like New York, he has been pretty clear as far as like not wanting to play for James Dolan, and James Dolan still owns that team. So I don't think he wants to go to New York. So it's like, in terms of his options, from an even non-basketball standpoint, the Lakers make the most sense. And then now from a basketball standpoint, this is a pretty good spot, you know, especially if he maybe takes a little bit less and the Lakers are able to build this rotation even further. Everybody gets a little bit more chemistry playing together and all that stuff. Maybe Austin takes another step forward next year. Shit, maybe Luka takes another step forward next year. And now all of a sudden, LeBron has an opportunity to win a champion, another championship in LA, with his son sitting on the sideline there with him in a city that he really, really, really loves. I don't know. Like I could see him sticking around. As far as like what the team's ceiling is this year, I think they can win a championship. Can't believe I'm saying it, but it's a narrow path, but I think they can do it. I think that, you know, I think it's a possibility. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button. Please turn on those notifications for the channel as well as YouTube so that whenever we go live, you can join us ASAP. If you guys missed anything, subscribe. You could or listen to the show in its podcast form, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And yeah, until the next time you guys hear from me, which might be tomorrow. I'm traveling tomorrow and I'm trying to work out a time to be able to get together with Pete. So we'll see if we're able to make it work. If we can, cool. Talk to you tomorrow. If not, have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you guys when I can talk to you guys. Have a good one, everybody.